Good morning and welcome. Welcome, welcome to a Monday morning back from a
Busy weekend.
Yeah, it was, and I was going to say refreshing, but I don't know that it was refreshing. It was very,
busy.
Yeah, busy, good word, I guess.
It was something.
Well, I was trying to, oh, hi, we're here. Mike and Lisa Austin on your morning tradition, traditional Catholic radio. Because the weekend was a busy weekend because we had, well, our son Joseph is at camp.
Yep.
Don Bosco Boys Camp up near Waupaca, Wisconsin. Right.
And they were up at Holy Hill.
Right. Well, and we're going to have a blog about that. I think you're blogging, and I took some video. I'm hoping to get the video put together. Do we have it yet? Maybe not. So Holy Hill is a beautiful church on top of this big hill in Wisconsin. It's out in the middle of nowhere, near Milwaukee, but not, I mean, you can see Milwaukee on a clear day from the top spires.
Right.
But it's like 30 miles away.
It's cool.
So, and the story as I get it is this, that the Irish immigrants, because all the roads around there are Irish names.
Oh.
And so Irish immigrants settled the area, and they planted the first cross on that hill. They always looked at that. It's the tallest hill for miles around. And they looked at that hill as a holy hill.
Oh, I see.
They used to go up there for prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? Probably because if they're up there, they wouldn't get interrupted. They could see anybody coming. Because it was wilderness back then.
Okay.
There's a history. I'm sure I'm really getting it wrong. But if you can ever make it to Wisconsin, look up. It's near Oconomowoc and Milwaukee and a bunch of different Indian type names. But you go to Holy Hill. If you look it up on the web, it's, well, Lisa will have a link coming up this week, hopefully early in the week. So our son Joseph is at Summer Boys Camp, Don Bosco Boys Camp,
mm-hmm.
and St. Don Bosco Boys Camp. And he's St., yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they did a thing where they did a mini pilgrimage. It's a walk of about 2-3 miles through the woods and then along a road, and it goes up the hill, the Holy Hill. And when you see the video, this is what's cool. Young boys, all these young boys carrying banners, each little section, segment, cabin,
mm-hmm.
they all have their own banner. They design it themselves. They're all Catholic crusader-type banners. And they fly these huge colors, and in front is the papal flag and the American flag, and they process through the woods, down the road. People are stopping, taking pictures.
It's impressive.
130-some young boys.
That's right.
And they're all in their T-shirts, you know, that say St. Don Bosco on them, Boys Camp.
Uh-huh.
Singing the rosary, praying.
Other chants.
Carrying a 3-foot-tall statue of the Blessed Mother.
Uh-huh.
Young boys on their shoulders.
That's right.
On this other platform. It's beautiful. And they make such an impact. So then they march up the hill. Tourists, this is a tourist place. People come to Holy Hill, whether they're Catholic or not. And other people make pilgrimages there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stop in their tracks. 130 young boys, young men, go walking in singing, carrying these banners. And they march up the steps. Huge brass doors, sculpted doors. You'll see it all in the video. And they process into this just drop-dead gorgeous church.
Mm-hmm.
A Nova Sordo church. But still, it's just beautiful. Marble everywhere. And they go in singing. And dare I say, this is probably one of the only times that that church, I know, I can't say. I was going to say sees reverence of this stature, but maybe not. I can't say it. I can't say that because I don't know that.
Right.
But it is such an awe-inspiring thing to see these young boys and their banners, and they all file into the front pews, and we all say the rosary, and they all sing. Father did a consecration thing. It was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Did Father Mackin tell you what the theme is this year? Because each year they have their...
No, he didn't. I'm sure it has something to do with the family, I would think.
Possibly.
So he didn't tell you either?
Well, I wasn't there, remember?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought maybe when we dropped Joseph off, maybe you talked to him and he said something.
But... No.
All right. So anyway, since we're talking pilgrimages, later on this in the show, we're going to have such... this is so special. Louis Tafari. Louis Tafari in Kansas is an expert, a historian on the Santa Fe pilgrimage. and Father Juan Padilla and the whole story around that. And the pilgrimage that they do, we talked about it earlier, last week, right after it was finished, or a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it's 33 miles overnight. I won't say nonstop, because they do stop like every 3 miles, 4 miles.
Right. They take a break for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, just a couple of minutes to get waters.
Right.
To get...
regroup a little bit.
Yeah, you know, go to the bathroom.
And then you go again.
And it's pitch black. It's out in the Kansas prairie.
It's overnight.
A dirt road. And you'll see. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the history of the Santa Fe pilgrimage.
It's rich in history.
And the steps of Coronado, yeah. the conquistadors, and the reconquest of America.
And I think every man and boy should be on this pilgrimage.
We're going next year.
It's important.
Joseph and I are going next year. And it's always
near. Come on, men.
Okay. It's always the closest weekend to the Feast of St. James the Greater, which will be explained by Louis Tafari. Everything is connected.
Yep.
And they say, will you take the nail? I love that.
Take the nail, man. Take the nail.
We cracked open some of the monastery coffee, I think, a little too soon. We did. Lisa's just chewing the raw beans, man, this morning. So she's full of beans this morning. But it was such a beautiful weekend, and we've got pictures and video that we're going to put on. I have to edit that yet. So St. Don Bosco Boys Camp, I went. I think I was the only guy there that wasn't affiliated with the camp. They say the parents can go, but I was the only one.
Well, Joseph really wanted us to go, and I'm glad you and Anna were able to go.
Yeah.
I had to stay back, though.
Well, we have two sick girls. So, and the Zignago family, they live close by, and so they put a spread out for the boys once they got down from Holy Hill. By the way, Holy Hill is a basilica now. Huge church there. They've got wood from the original cross that the Irish planted there. Then the Germans came in. I was going to tell you this. The Germans came in, built a cabin church, uh-huh. And then it just went from there. And it is humongous. You climb up these
tall,
really tall cathedral-like spires. And you can see probably 30, 40, 50 miles on a clear day. It's always windy up there.
I know it.
But that's a welcome relief after you've been walking in 90-something degree heat all afternoon.
Well, this is true. But if you have long hair like me, you don't want it whipping in your face.
No. It looks like the flag's up there. Oh, salute the flag. No, that's Lisa's hair. Oh, here's something that was cool. Coming out of the church. Okay, so we get up to Holy Hill over the week. This is past weekend, Saturday. We get up there. And all these boys have their flags. And you wait. We don't just go rushing into the church. You wait. And we're out front. Father Mack, wants to make sure everything's cool. And so a couple of us go in. Well, there was a wedding just finishing. So we don't wait. And it was mm-hmm. just over. They were taking pictures of the bride and groom. And so one of the guys goes up and says, excuse me, when you walk out, you're going to see this. And don't get frightened. Don't get
Oh, they warned him.
Yeah. But so here's what's cool.
What?
So, okay. So we come out and Father Mackin says, you know what, boys? Line up. He had them all line up in rank, in like in the military, because that's what they do.
Huh.
Line up with each flag, crusader flag. Then the papal flag and the American flag and the camp's banners, these big red banners with gold crosses on them.
Neat.
Very medieval looking, flapping in the wind. The wind is blowing, and they're all waving huge. And Father Mackin says, boys, line up. When the bride and groom come out, yell congratulations all at the same time, then we will all sing the Hail Mary to them.
Aww.
They had no clue this was happening.
Aww, how sweet.
Yeah. So, and the wedding party was in on it because they were over on the sides. Okay, here's what we're going to do for these people. Oh, cool. So they're over on the side waiting, tuxedos and gowns and stuff. And this young bride and groom come walking out. And these young boys, the flags waving, and they all, congratulations. And then Father Mackin went over, shook the groom's hand, and he said, congratulations on your wedding. And then he turned around, and the boys launched into Hail Mary. It was beautiful. The bride completely broke down.
Aww.
Crying. Yeah.
How sweet.
And I said later, you know what we should have done is we should have made like an arc for them out of the flags and had them walk through the arc. But
yeah.
We didn't do all of that. But and then they walked over and the wedding party said, surprise, like they did it. I'm thinking the groom the whole time is thinking, who's paying for all this? Did I buy this? Who's paying for this? So anyway.
It's a gift from God.
Yeah, there you go. That's nicely. A little gift from God for you. Compliments of St. Don Bosco's Boys Camp. We're going to talk pilgrimage with Louis Tafari coming up later. But right now, Lisa, you know what I want to ask?
Yes, I do.
How can you know where you're going
if you don't know where you've been?
That's why we do this.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today happens to be the August the 3rd. It's a Monday, and it is the 215th day of the year in the year of our Lord, 2015. There are 150 of these days left. 881, this day in history, the Battle of Saucourt. Allô? Saucourt. French King Louis III beat the Vikings, which a lot of people can beat the Vikings. The Bears, Green Bay Packers, they all beat the Vikings.
Okay.
I don't think that's what he means.
No, I don't think so.
Fine.
And in 1492, Christopher Columbus
sailed the ocean blue.
Set sail on his first voyage with three ships. Do you know them?
The Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
That's correct. And that was from King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella.
Sent them forth.
That's today.
And I think we have a little something about that in our segment on the Santa Fe Pilgrimage. We will see how this goes. 1678, Robert LaSalle completed building the first ship ever in America. It was the Griffin.
And on this day in 1829, Rossini's William Tell Overture premieres in Paris.
It was in 1900 that I think it's William Firestone, Louis Firestone, Johnny Firestone. One of the Firestone guys came up and formed the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company and started making tires.
Wow. And on this day in 1921 in Troy, Ohio, they killed all the little caterpillars.
Yes.
It was the first aerial crop dusting experience.
Wow. Because the caterpillars had dust on them.
Well, they killed all the little butterflies.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Lisa's been watching A Bug's Life with the children, and it was on this date in 1963. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a little music history for you, and it fits perfectly with our son Joseph at Summer Boys Camp. This is the day, 1963. This little song right here was number one. Alan Sherman, Hello Mudda. Hello Fada. In dedication to all the boys at summer camp. For one more week. Everybody.
Hello, Mudda. Hello, Fada. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey.
Yes, of course he did.
He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner.
Yes.
He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner.
And there you go.
Cute.
Oh, I've always loved that song. This is the day in 1963 that song debuted. It was at number one. And that's going to do it for this little segment. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk with Louis Tafari. He is down in Kansas. He is, he didn't actually go on he's a support guy for the Santa Fe Pilgrimage, but he knows all the history, and you're going to get that. And this is going to blow your mind for about the next 15, 20 minutes or so. So stick around. It's your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com.
Living our faith.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's Mike and Lisa Austin here on your morning tradition, Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. And we welcome you back. Am I missing anything?
Just the fact that you got the name wrong. You kept saying that it was St. Mary's, Kansas.
No, I just said down in Kansas. Let us now go to our guest of the morning. Ashley's going to end up being our only guest because there's a lot to get out here, and I told him we could have the whole morning. Joining us over the phone, the Santa Fe Pilgrimage was just happened, and we're going to get all the details on that, what it entailed. But I said Kansas, and Louis Tafari joins us now. You're in Missouri, aren't you, Louis?
I'm in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri.
All right, and joining us is Louis Tafari. We're going to talk about the Santa Fe Pilgrimage a little bit. Louis, welcome. I'm so happy that you can be with us.
Thanks, Mike. It's a great pleasure to be on the show with you.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Santa Fe Pilgrimage, which just ended. This was the first I've known of it. I know this has been around for how many years you guys have been doing this down there?
It's been going on since 1998.
33 miles. And the pilgrimages that I am familiar with, which aren't that many, but you walk a few miles, you camp out at night, you have singing and songs and, you know, you have some camaraderie, people you meet along the way, and then you get up the next day. You guys don't do that at all. This is an all-night gig, isn't it?
It certainly is. We start at about 6 p.m., and then we walk throughout the night, and we generally finish, it depends on what the pace is, but this year we managed to have Mass at the Padilla Cross starting at 10:45 a.m.
That is fabulous. Okay, so let's talk about the Santa Fe Pilgrimage. What it is, and why it's done. First of all, a little bit of history, Lewis, if you would, please. You follow the footsteps of Coronado and Father Juan Padilla. Tell us a little of that story.
Okay, well, the story is with the Coronado expedition, which left Compostela, New Spain, on February 22nd, 1540, and to make a long story short, made its way all the way up to Kansas. In fact, the first recorded Mass in the United States of America was offered by Father Juan de Padilla, who was a Franciscan priest from Spain. And he offered that Mass of Thanksgiving on June 29, 1541, just outside of what today is Fort Dodge, Kansas. And in fact, there's a 38-foot-tall concrete cross marking the spot where he reportedly offered this Mass on the heights overlooking what is today the Arkansas River, which he named after Saints Peter and Paul in commemoration of the feast day. They then made their way eastwards into Kansas, and there they found these enormous villages, the Quivira Indians, numbering between 20 to 40,000 people in each village, from what I understand. Hmm. And there, Coronado planted a wooden cross in the center of one of these villages. And they spent some time there, during which Father De Padilla evangelized those Indians. They, after a few months, eventually returned to New Mexico. And after some time there, Coronado announced that he was returning back to New Spain, and Father Padilla had permission with a small band of others to return back to the Quivira Indians. Once he returned back, which is around the summer of 1542, he found the wooden cross still standing in the village. They spent some time there evangelizing again, and the date that is generally assigned is about December 25th, 1542. Father De Padilla and his group decided to go to the nearby Kaw Indians and evangelize them, and during that day's journey towards the northeast, the Quiveran Indians decided they weren't going to have their rival tribe receive the good news. Wow. Something similar to the French experience with up in the northeast of the United States, of course.
Right, North American martyrs.
St. Isaac Yokes being the most famous example.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they chased after him. Father De Padilla urged his party to flee. He knelt down in calm prayer, was shot with arrows. Mm. His group was captured. And the Indians took his body and placed it in a pit and then covered it with an innumerable number of stones. As this event was chronicled by one of the soldiers who was accompanying part of the party, whose name was Andres del Campo, and he had a famous story in itself because he had managed to escape these Indians eventually, him and the other group. And they made their way back to Mexico, which was a several-year journey. And that's how we know about the story of what happened to Father Juan de Padilla, who then became the proto-martyr of the United States of America.
Yes.
That being said, we don't know precisely where his body is. It's never been found. A pretty good location seems to be Council Grove, Kansas, where there has been a monument that's been reportedly the Mark of the Grave site of Father Juan de Padilla. But to my knowledge, there's never been an excavation there to actually determine if that's the case or not.
What a rich history, though, and I guess it's sort of known in history, but when you think of the conquistadors and the Spanish, you think of Texas, you think of Mexico, you think of Florida, and to think the heartland of America, the footsteps that were trod, and now the path that you take on the pilgrimage, is that exactly the path of Father Padilla and Coronado and all the rest?
Well, it's not known for sure, Mike. One reason it's called the Santa Fe Pilgrimage is because the road that we walk on, the Santa Fe Trail, would actually intersect it at some point. In fact, there's one point where we make a turn to go northwards. It's our last mile to the Padilla Cross. And at that corner is something called, it's the Cow Creek Crossing. But on that spot, you can see the wagon ruts. It's one of the few places still left in America where you can still see the wagon ruts of the Santa Fe Trail.
That's neat.
Very possibly, parts of what we're walking on may have been walked on by Father Juan de Padilla and the Coronado Expedition, because the Santa Fe Trail in itself, from what we understand, that the pioneers ended up using, parts of it were originally comprised of the old Indian trading trails.
Oh.
And this would have made sense that they would have walked this, because as is explained in these chronicles by the Spanish of that time, the terrain at that time was very different than it is today. Today it's just, it's flat Kansas plains.
Right.
Maybe there's some corn there occasionally, but there's not much out there. But back then, the grass, the prairie grass, was as tall as a man.
Oh, holy cow.
And they even had, there's one area that we crossed that they said that they had sand dunes as tall as 20 to 40 feet in some places.
Wow.
It was one of the landmarks for the Santa Fe pioneers. Those sand dunes, of course, no longer exist. That grass no longer is anywhere to be found along the route that we take.
So what you're walking is pure, just flat Kansas prairie.
Yes, and in fact, the road, one of the things we've promised to our pilgrims is a long, dusty road, and it really is that. You can't really qualify it as gravel. It's more like dust with small pieces, like pebble stone almost. It's not paved roads. And what's interesting is this pilgrimage was envisioned from the start as being the Midwestern parallel to the Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage in Spain, which of course is where the shrine of St. James the Greater is.
Yes.
There's two interesting parallels to this. First thing is, some who have actually been on the Santiago de Compostela Camino or path in Europe itself, and there's like five different caminos to get to the Santiago de Compostela shrine. And that's, by the way, the one where they have that famous giant silver thurible that flies down the nave at about 30 miles an hour.
Right, right. The
terrain that we're walking through is very similar to that area around Santiago. The other thing that's very interesting is the Coronado expedition actually departed from Compostela, New Spain.
So
there's all these interesting things that go with this. And it just so happens that Spain is the originator of Catholicism in our country.
Yes.
And the great patron of Spain, of Catholic Spain, is St. James the Greater, who also happens to be the patron saint of Church Militant. And this, of course, goes with the whole idea of Reconquista.
Mm-hmm.
And the Reconquista was the taking back of Catholic Spain from the Islamic Moors, a process that took almost 700 years. And it seemed almost impossible that it could ever be done, and yet the great faith of the Spaniards said, yes, it can. And, of course, this was finally concluded successfully under the reign of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. An interesting thing is, just months after their final conquest, reconquest of Spain for Catholicism, they launched Columbus to the new world. They wasted no time. Let's now spread the faith that we've won so hard here in our country.
Let's spread it now
to the new world.
Yeah, I think that's often forgotten and not taught is, I mean, Columbus, he evangelized. I mean, he was a missionary, sort of. I mean, he had the cross on the sails on his boats, you know, the Crusader cross.
Right, and in fact, that's one of the emblems that we carry during the pilgrimage is a banner. It's a red and white banner, and it has the Conquistador sword cross, you might say. It's really a cross, but some people associate it with an upside-down sword. Mm. And that's the symbol that was carried also in the New World to conquer it for Christ and to save souls.
You know, when you understand this history of this whole thing, it really puts everything into perspective. And, you know, walking through and on this trail for 33 miles, mm-hmm. it's like you join yourself physically and spiritually to this whole big thing.
Right, right.
Yes, and it's funny, there's another aspect you can tie into this. One of the very unique things about our pilgrimage, which is often not really thought of it firsthand, but the pilgrims can tell you about it. Walking through the night on a flat, dusty road, you can imagine the psychological impact, the mental endurance that you have to have, because like an example, it's literally off in the night. You can see these lights of a factory that's just outside of Lyons, Kansas. They never seem to get any closer. And you can imagine these guys like Coronado and Father Juan de Padilla and all these other people. The United States is so immense, and they're walking, and they just seem to never. Mm-hmm. Even when they finally got somewhere, it's like, what did we get? What did we accomplish? In fact, one might even say that what Father Juan de Padilla did was fruitless.
Here's the thing. Didn't Father Juan de Padilla walk when everyone else was on a horse?
Yes, he did. And it's funny. So he was a soldier in Spain. He came from Andalusia, and he came over to the New World about 1528, and he then entered the Franciscan order, was ordained a priest. He had been on several other expeditions, one that was actually organized by Cortez with the attempt to cross over into the Orient, because, of course, they didn't know how far it was across the ocean. Well, it turned out the ships that they had weren't seaworthy, so it wasn't going to happen. But this guy was a really kind of adventurous type of guy. It's like, you know, today is the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and it's funny how these Spaniards were just always kind of trying to go beyond themselves. And, so Father Juan de Padilla was really kind of a, you might say, in a sense, an adventurous priest, but he's also extremely successful at contemplation, because one of the things he did was he got put in charge as a prior of a Franciscan monastery, and was extremely successful. He was just on fire to evangelize. So he was on at least two other expeditions that occurred in different places, and then finally he ended up on the Coronado expedition. And he was given a horse to ride,
yes,
and he refused it out of humility to imitate our Lord, and he walked the entire expedition.
Wow.
And does it, Santa Fe, is that, translate that, Santa Fe?
It means Holy Faith.
The Holy Faith, that's what I thought, Holy Faith Trail. Louis, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about the pilgrimage itself and what you guys do for 33 miles overnight. Was it last weekend? Weekend before last.
It was July 24th and 25th. It was between Friday and Saturday.
All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the pilgrimage itself, how you can get involved. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to go. I'm coming next year, by the way. Get ready. Here I
come.
All right, we're going to take this break and come back. Mike and Lisa Austin, we're on your morning tradition here at Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com.